Amen. Please kneel if you can. Heavenly Father, thank you once again for blessing us with your presence. For your Son promised, whenever two or more are gathered in your name, that you are, he'll be there in the midst of us. And so thank you. Thank you for blessing us with your presence. Please bless and bridle my tongue so that your perfect word goes forth as you would plan for today, so a changing of the showbread is done in your will. And please bless us all with understanding, retention, faith and wisdom, and many opportunities to share what you have given us to share from your word. Please bless all those that are in attendance, whether they're in the room here, on the radio, or on the phone. And we thank you for blessing us with that hedge of angels, that when we go forth, even if it's just to share a smile when someone expects a frown, thank you for the ministering angels that put a hedge about us to keep us safe while we do so. And please accept this prayer in the name of your amazing and most precious Son, our Lord, our Savior and King, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen and amen. Okay. All right. I saw a video 2 days ago, Thursday morning to be exact, that had quite a few Nigerian Seventh-day Adventists protesting on camera outside their church singing hymns. They were protesting the corruption in their church. And yes, it was financial corruption, as well as doctrinal. As we know, this corruption has gone global in the Seventh-day Adventist Church. But to protest is all they can do in that region. And there's not a lot of choices in Nigeria when it comes to a safe place to worship. And I hope and pray that the Nigerian pastor that kept trying to call me, calls me back, or emails me, because the phone system out there isn't the greatest. We'll start talking and he's gone. He just disappears. So, on that video, I posted a comment and told him to check out sdaapostasy.org for more info on how to help others see the corruption that they're seeing. And I pray they contact me so that we can work with them, as we do have many people in Nigeria already. And so, in any event, that video was answer to prayer. That after seeing it, I knew it was time to share this sermon. I asked for confirmation, and I got it, and so I must share what the Lord has laid on my heart. Because the Lord gave me this many months ago, and something was moving me this week to pray on this one. And then what happened on Thursday with what I saw, more or less locked it down. So it is written in Ezekiel chapter 6, verse 2, Son of Man, and this is going to be all of us, we have a duty here. Set thy face towards the mountains of Israel and prophesy against them. So in prophecy, we find that the word mountain has many definitions. Three such definitions are heads, powerful men, and Babylon itself. The verse that define all this are as follows. In Revelation 17:9, it says, and here is a mind that hath wisdom. The seven heads are seven mountains on which the woman sitteth. And then Judges 9:36 says, and when Gaal saw the people, he said to Zebul, behold, there come people down from the top of the mountains. And Zebul said unto him, thou seest the shadow of the mountains as if they were men. And then Jeremiah said this in Jeremiah 51:25. Behold, I am against thee, O destroying mountain, saith the Lord, which destroyeth all the earth, and I will stretch out my hand upon thee, and roll thee down from the rocks, and will make thee a burnt mountain. And we know the end result of the Vatican, right? So, as students of prophecy, we know modern-day Babylon is the Vatican. Looking at its ability to affect every soul on earth, with its immoral influence in all the churches, as well as all the nations, it is indeed a mountain when the persecuted look upon it, because they have no hope in man to defeat it. But we do have hope in the Lord that will soon cause it to burn. Like David's Goliath, their power is too great for a mere man to fight. Still, it has been prophesied that this Babylon's going to burn. For it is written in Revelation 18:9 that the kings of the earth who have committed fornication and live deliciously with her shall bewail her and lament for her when they shall see the smoke of her burning. You might want to also check out Revelation 18:18 and Revelation 19:3 when you get time. So the reason I share this from Ezekiel chapter 6, verse 2, as well as the prophetic definitions, is because we as the remnant of her seed have to warn the people trapped in apostasy, just as Jeremiah did in the city of Jerusalem, while Ezekiel did the same thing with the exiled Jews in Babylon. That being said, I would like to share some prophetic statements Ezekiel made for his day that also apply for today. Ezekiel chapter 12. It says this in the first two verses. The word of the Lord also came unto me, saying, Son of man, thou dwellest in the midst of a rebellious house. Now notice how he even says, the word of the Lord also came unto me. Because he knows he came out of Jeremiah, right? They lived at the same time. And so he says, thou dwellest in the midst of a rebellious house, which have eyes to see and see not, and they have ears to hear and hear not, for they are a rebellious house. As I have said for decades, had the people of God in ancient times remained obedient and done their duty of proclaiming his word far and wide, the temple that David gathered supplies for, that his son Solomon was to build after his death, would never have fallen. And Jerusalem would have been the one place everyone on earth could go to speak to sanctified and ordained men of God to this day when in need of spiritual counsel. But as historic and biblical record confirm, Satan deceived them just enough to become rebellious people who refused to do as the Lord commanded them. And when our Lord had done all he could to move them to repentance, and this includes the sending of Jesus as Messiah, their long, hardened, and rebellious hearts, which produced their crippled wisdom of the Scripture, moved them to ignore the only remedy of sin which leads to salvation offered them. You know, it's like I've been saying for as long as I can remember. All of us are tempted by the enemy to actually commit spiritual suicide. We literally become our own worst enemies and have no one to blame but ourselves at every toss of the coin, good or bad. So, according to the biblical record, instead of embracing Jesus as Savior, as prophesied, the Jews declared by their hateful actions when seeing Jesus stand before them 2,000 years ago that this is the heir. Come, let us kill him, and the inheritance will be ours. Remember when Jesus declared it in Mark chapter 12, verse 7? Just as Israel became blind to the will of their ever-loving and eternal living God, all leaders of the church throughout history are subject to the same peril under Satan's reign, if in fact they do as the Jews of old did, when the baubles and the trinkets of deception present themselves before them. And as every ex-Seventh-day Adventist can tell you, the leaders in the General Conference of the SDA Church have become just as blind to their own peril as were the Pharisees of old. These leaders were called to go forth as representatives of the truth on earth at the very moment the end times began. They also had an amazing blessing handed them from God himself that would have caused countless souls the world over to seek the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior, and so, like the Jews of old, Satan went after them with tooth and talon, and so they too shunned their duty, so as to make friendly relations with those of the world, and worse yet, with Babylon itself. The methods Satan used 1,000 years ago in Jeremiah, or thousands of years ago rather, in Jeremiah and Ezekiel's day, were just as effective then as they were in Jesus' day when he visited us, 2,000 years ago. Today, we now see the exact same lies of hell being embraced and taught as truth so as to feed the lusts of the flesh in the leadership of the church. Only now, being the end times as it is, it's not just the pagan rituals and false gods being lifted up by the leaders. I mean, after all, they do that each year with Easter, Christmas, and even Halloween in the SDA Church. And it's not just following after the rabbis of old who declared the Lord Jesus and his apostles are false messengers. The people under them are doing it now. Those of us on the front lines know all too well about those that echo their pastors in the SDA church declaring the present truth we share is to be considered a false message, when we have that which is written backed up by that which is written. Those in apostasy show obedience to the exact same demons of thousands of years ago, yes, but today Satan knows his time is short, and so we now see he has declared, you know, like homosexual marriage, or Allah is God, the Vatican Quran is just as holy as the Bible, and abortion services are being offered in Seventh-day Adventist hospitals is now become the new norm for the leaders in the church, just to name a few, because of satanic influence. The apostasy is literally off the chart now. And because the more obedient generation has mostly gone to rest, the founders of the church, they've all gone to rest, in fact, the brainwashed current generation has no clue as to what's right or wrong. They are actually much worse than they were in Jeremiah's day, or even in the apostles' day. In fact, I recall when I first came online many years ago, when I was preaching the present truth, how many SDAs would come to me privately in these audio conferences that we were doing, praising God for the message they never heard before. Those poor souls in the seven, and like I said, this is like, I think at least 15, 20 years ago. I don't know when the internet started. I know it was right in the beginning when we started doing this, when the audio conference rooms were first invented. I think it was Fire Talk was one of the first. That's one we were using. But those poor souls, they, in the Seventh-day Adventist Church, they had no clue that what I was sharing was their original message from their own church leaders. In the beginning, that is, not the ones of today. They didn't have any clue, any more than a Catholic knew about their church's prophesied exposure as the Whore of Babylon. Their leaders had become putty in the hands of demons, just as they were in the synagogues. So continuing in Ezekiel 12, we read from verse 3, it says, "Therefore, thou son of man, prepare thee stuff for removing, and remove by day in their sight, and thou shalt remove from thy place to another place in their sight. It may be they will consider, though they be a rebellious house. Then shalt thou bring forth thy stuff by day in their sight, as stuff for removing. And thou shalt go forth at even in their sight, as they that go forth into captivity. Dig thou through the wall in their sight, and carry out thereby. In their sight shalt thou bear it upon their shoulders, and carry it forth in the twilight. Thou shalt cover thy face, that thou see not the ground, for I have set thee for a sign unto the house of Israel. And I did so, as I was commanded. I brought forth my stuff by day, as stuff for captivity, and in the even I digged through the wall with mine hand. I brought it forth in the twilight, and I bare it upon my shoulder in their sight." To those standing in leadership positions in the SDA church, I gotta ask, have you noticed the exodus of obedient souls from your church body in these last days, right before your eyes, in your sight? Or will you also ignore what the prophet Ezekiel was trying to warn Zedekiah about in his day? Many, like Ezekiel, have already packed their belongings right before your eyes, so as to declare unto you they cannot walk with you or even allow you to be their religious guides. And have you noticed how some have suddenly disappeared from your congregations, as if to dig a hole in the wall at night to sneak out? Or could it be it's because some of you have a tendency to browbeat and use forceful methods to convince them to stay? That's why they left, without you knowing. When speaking of those precious souls that are leaving your church, it says in Revelation 14:4, "These are they which are not defiled with women, for they are virgins. These are they which follow the Lamb whithersoever he goeth. These were redeemed from among men, being the first fruits unto God and to the Lamb." Your churches are emptying because you leaders are an openly rebellious headship. And as the Lord instructed Ezekiel back then, your church family will do as the Lord commands them, because they are many in your number who still literally do prefer obeying God rather than man. The obedient people have dug deep into your message and found it is designed to entrap them in apostasy, just as prophecy warned long ago. At the same time, the original message of the pioneer stands firm. But, and this And as difficult as it is for some, the bride of Christ will remain obedient to her Lord. And she will escape your twisting of the truth, because their hearts can only follow the Lamb whithersoever he goeth. And being as such, these people and their desire to follow Christ and leave you behind are an open and obvious sign against you. I mean, if you were really doing the work, they wouldn't be leaving. The corrupt leaders in the SDA church who join with the state that openly hates Jesus Christ, no less, and embraces Rome, the one who persecutes God's people, you SDA leaders declare the image set up by the popes to be your image now as well, because you have that 501c3 contract. And you could twist the truth all you want, make videos all left and right and say that's a bogus prophecy. We're wrong about that prophecy, but what's the basic reality here? The Vatican City and the Catholic Church are one and the same. There's church and state, right? Look at the churches of today. Look at your church. It's a church and a state. You are literally called a government agent now as of March 7th, 2006. George W. Bush stated it on camera. You are now a government agent. So look at the history of the church. Just as it was when apostasy started in the church, and even more so now in the last days when the darkness is plain, the people of God have been leaving the church in droves, and this is why you, like the Pharisees of old, have embraced the enticements of the world to not only tempt some to stay in sin. Your ecumenical message has lured many who hate Christ to see you as loyal friends of Rome. Some of you conference leaders and pastors have even declared in writing that the Church of Rome is no longer to be called Antichrist. I actually did a video on that years ago. And the man of sin, you call on camera a holy leader, openly displaying your and wearing the robes of Rome while doing so, declaring your loyalty to Rome as well as your wicked desire to call Christ, Jesus, a liar, who exposed the popes in his prophetic word. The prophetic statement of Ezekiel also reminds me of the heavenly instruction that is now being ignored, which is found in 2 Thessalonians 3:14, that says, if any man obey not our word by this epistle, note that man and have no company with him, that he may be ashamed. Yet most SDAs remain in the pews of their church, knowing full well it's an apostasy. I know this for a fact, because each time a new SDA approaches me claiming I'm in error for declaring the church is a sister to fallen Babylon, I ask them if they know their church is in apostasy, and without hesitation, 100% of them have declared yes, they know it is. Yet they refuse to remove themselves from that place so as to stand in another place wherein the Lord is directing them. And it's all your fault, Pastor. Those that refuse to pack their bags for exile as you watch, as God declared they should do through Ezekiel, are doing the same as those that trusted the Pharisees that lied about Jesus 2,000 years ago. The leaders in the SDA church have the exact same message as the ones Christ Jesus called hypocrites. Like the Jews of old, the SDA people had an appointed place to stand. But now, as prophecy after prophecy has been fulfilled, confirming their church has joined hands with Rome, they can stand no longer in that place. Now it's up to the remnant of her seed to reap the blessings of old. And yes, this is also why USDA leaders are very angry with us. Need I remind you of the parable found in Matthew 20, verses 1 to 7, wherein it describes the seven churches in the four movements? I have a webpage dedicated to that parable alone. My point is this. When the 11th hour workers, or remnant of her seed, as Revelation 12:17 describes us, when we continue to receive our penny for the obedient work we do, the previous workers that received the penny got very upset and said in Matthew chapter 20, verse 12, these that have wrought but 1 hour, and thou hast made them equal unto us, which have borne the burden and heat of the day? No. As so many of you leaders in the SDA church claim, we cannot be accused of riding upon your moth-eaten coattails, because the pioneers that worked during the heat of the day have all gone to rest. We're following their lead, and Christ leads, actually, because we're following the Lamb whithersoever he goeth. And the leaders, the founders of the church, they're the ones that were doing the work as we do. And they were doing it in the ninth hour, we're doing it in the 11th. So yes, They did the work, and yes, we agree with that work as being doctrinally sound, but you, angry and apostate leaders of today, have stopped the work and only claim to be the rightful recipients of the work by mere denominational right, even though you created a brand new church, but kept the name, and then claim us of starting a new denomination when we never did. We had to change the name so you wouldn't sue us and throw us in jail. But we have Christ, and Christ is with us. And you leaders in the SDA Church have refused him, just as the Pharisees of old did. For the prophecy of Revelation 12:17 cannot be denied. Either it has come to fruition, and it is about to get far more apparent when the latter rain falls, or the prophecy is false, and the apostate church is where we should be. But my Bible clearly says in Jeremiah 17, verses 5 to 7, thus saith the Lord, cursed be the man that trusteth in man, and maketh flesh his arm, and whose heart departeth from the Lord. For he shall be like the heath in the desert, and shall not see when good cometh, but shall inhabit the parched places in the wilderness, in a salt land, and not inhabited it. Blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord, and whose hope the Lord is. Well, just as the Jews, just as the Jews in their days, in the days of the Lord visited us, he visited us just like he did them. I mean, more SDAs in the pews hear and believe what we say is true. All of them admit their church is in apostasy. And I'm not saying Jesus Christ, you know, visited us in visible form. No, he did so in his word. His word comes to life. And so even though the people in the pews admit to be in apostasy, they are willing to make a stand with Christ and obey him when he declares they need to come out of Babylon because they be in the whore itself, or even one of its sisters, which is the SDA Church, because the actual whore is Rome. We all know this. Even though many claim that I say the SDA Church is the whore of Babylon, and I never did. Never once on my website, never once in a sermon or on the radio ever, or on a video ever. I always said that she was a sister of the whore. And so lies is also one of the fruits of this church now. So, but the people, they refuse to leave for a multitude of reasons, and all of them are based on the flesh. And all that the world has to offer is what keeps them sitting there. I mean, the fact they admit they are in apostasy confirms they know what we preach is true. But excuses must be made by them so as to steady the sinking ship they are sailing in towards the falls. I mean, like the Jews of old, they trust their religious leaders more than the Word of God, which clearly outlines the evidence of their plight. And again, that's your fault, Pastor. You taught them to trust you above the Bible in the exact same way the Pharisees and the popes have done. And so, as Jeremiah warned the Jews of old, the SDA people of today who remain in the pews of the apostate church will also be cursed, for they too trusteth in man, and their heart departeth from the Lord. The people in the pews are in just as much danger as those at the desk, because the basic reality is they are all very fearful now. There is no getting around the fact that even a demon-possessed man wants to be free, and so the truth the prophesied remnant of her seed preaches can be a blessing to all. Even in the leadership, one can find a man who will step out and step up. Nicodemus did it, and so did Paul some years later. And so I must appeal to both the souls at the desk and in the pew, but more so to the soul in the pew, because what we saw happen 2,000 years ago is very scary for the people that followed their false teachers into the spiritual and physical graves. So continuing in Ezekiel, we see, starting at verse 8, it says, "And in the morning came the word of the Lord unto me, saying, Son of man, hath not the house of Israel, the rebellious house, said unto thee, What doest thou? Say thou unto them, Thus saith the Lord God." I'm not doing it. He's doing it, in other words. "This burden concerneth the prince in Jerusalem and all the house of Israel that are among them. Say, I am your sign, like as I have done, so shall it be done unto them. They shall remove and go into captivity." Now look around. The SDA people who refuse to follow the Lamb whithersoever he goeth right now are in captivity. Rome has infiltrated their ranks, and without even realizing it due to the end result of their disobedience, they are in Babylon now. They are in captivity, just as the abomination of desolation surrounded the city in 70 AD, and they are too surrounded and have little time left to flee. And then going on from verse 12, it says, the prince that is among them shall bear upon his shoulder in the twilight and shall go forth. End time reference, no? Well, you'll find out in a minute. Well, in a few minutes anyway. And shall go forth. They shall dig through the wall, carry out thereby. He shall cover his face that he see not the ground with his eyes. My net also will I spread upon him. He shall be taken in my snare, and I will bring him to Babylon, to the land of the Chaldeans. Yet shall he not see it, though he shall die there. Now, yes, we and many within our number all over the world that have left the SDA church know Rome has taken the church to be their own. And yes, we also know how many Jesuits are standing in leadership positions in the church as their secret and now made public oath to the Pope declares was their duty all along anyway. And yes, I am speaking of the Jesuit oath when I talk about an oath. But what is especially sad is the plight of these Seventh-day Adventist leaders who refuse to see what the Lord is showing them. Is it any wonder, though, that the king of Babylon put out the eyes of Zedekiah? I mean, since he refused to use them, why keep them? I mean, like the SDA leaders today, he too rejected all that was staring him right in the face, right in his sight. His pride kept him on that throne. And so the deaths of his own sons were the last thing he ever saw with those eyes. It says in Jeremiah 52, verses 10 and 11, the king of Babylon slew the sons of Zedekiah before his eyes. He slew also the princes of Judah in Riblah. Then he put out the eyes of Zedekiah, and the king of Babylon bound him in chains and carried him to Babylon and put him in prison till the day of his death. Over the last few decades, many obedient children of God have walked up to these men of God in the Seventh-day Adventist Church to declare they need to separate from the conference immediately. But like a bunch of Zedekiahs, they covered their faces and look away from the truth the Lord is presenting them. They even refuse to see the path they used to tread on. So the warnings fall on deaf ears, and they spiritually die blinded by sin, choosing rather their prideful position at the desk as being much more important than the ordained duty set before them to be the example that echoes the command to come out of her, my people, that you be not partakers of her sins and that you receive not of her plagues. Revelation 18:4, of course. So continuing on in verse 14, it says, and I will scatter toward every wind all that are about him to help him, and all his bands, and I will draw out the sword after them, and they shall know that I am the Lord, when I shall scatter them among the nations and disperse them in the countries. But I'll leave a few men of them from the sword, from the famine, and from the pestilence, that they may declare all their abominations among the heathen whither they come, and they shall know that I am the Lord. I have literally lost count how many obedient SDA people have come out of the SDA church to start small home churches and ministries the last few decades alone. It's amazing how the Lord has them come here sometimes too, to start off, and then they leave and they start their little churches. They're literally scattered all over the world now, and just as Ezekiel prophesied, they are declaring the abominations being done in the church to any and all the eyes that have, eyes that see, or the ears that hear, or the hearts that love the Lord. In fact, we have a prophesied confirmation of this to be the case from the prophecy shared in Revelation 12, verse 17. It says, the remnant of her seed, which keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ, are the ones that are going to be doing the work. Many, like those of us in the Seventh-day Remnant Church, are proclaiming this truth, the truth far and wide. And I can only imagine how many believe as we do and preach as we do that we have yet to meet. Praise God, we'll meet them when we get home, But I do know this. If this is the final generation, I am convinced by Scripture that it is within this very number wherein the 144,000 are going to be counted. For only in obedience will the blessing flow, and never in open and utter denial of the Lord and His written word can anyone hope to be in that number or blessed by that reign. And so let's move ahead now into Ezekiel 12. For it also says this from verse 17 on. Moreover, the word of the Lord came to me saying, Son of man, eat thy bread with quaking. Drink thy water with trembling and with carefulness. and say unto the people of the land, thus saith the Lord God of the inhabitants of Jerusalem and of the land of the land of Israel. And I love the way that these words are being written here, and it's just amazing. With the students of prophecy that are among us in this church family today, one can just imagine how many hearts are being blessed by when you read this and you know what time it's talking about. It goes on, it says, they shall eat their bread with carefulness and drink their water with astonishment, that her land may be desolate from all that is therein, because of the violence of all them that dwell therein. And the cities that are inhabited shall be laid waste, and the land shall be desolate, and ye shall know that I am the Lord. Just as the disobedient in Ezekiel's day stood in daily fear during the siege of the city, they saw judgment fall upon them so as to illustrate the importance of the word of God. Our God is not one to be mocked. And this is very apparent from cover to cover in the word. In fact, it says in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 31, that it is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. As long-suffering as he is towards his people, eventually his wrath must fall, for the mercy seat is just as high as the altar of burnt offering. There's no favoritism, in other words. Truth is truth. It's just going to stay there. The SDA people are already seeing a spiritual holocaust falling upon them, which will culminate on that great and dreadful day, wherein those that refuse to heed the final warning will proclaim, the harvest is past, the summer is ended, and we are not saved. That's Jeremiah 8:20. So continuing on in verse 21, it says, and the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, son of man, what is that proverb that ye have had in the land of Israel, saying, the days are prolonged, and every vision faileth? Tell them, therefore, thus saith the Lord, I will make this proverb to cease, and they shall no more use it as a proverb in Israel, but say unto them, the days are at hand, and the effect of every vision. For there shall be no more any vain vision nor flattering divination within the house of Israel. For I am the Lord. I will speak the word that I shall speak shall come to pass. It shall no more prolonged. It shall be no more prolonged. For in your days, O rebellious house, will I say the word and will perform it, saith the Lord. You know, like the Jews of old, the apostate SDA people mock the Lord and warning sent them. Back then, the Jews mocked the Lord by saying the days are prolonged and every vision faileth, just as it was prophesied they would in our day. And yes, prophecy does declare, it directly predicts, this exact same mindset will be apparent today in the church. For it is written in 2 Peter 3:4 that many will say, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. But just as the Lord told Ezekiel in his day, he tells us in ours, he will make this mocking and false proverb to cease, echoing across the apostate sinful churches. That eastern sky is going to split, and most will be lost for all eternity. And yes, just like Hananiah, remember him in Jerusalem, who prophesied falsely for political gain to try to shut up Jeremiah? Many people trusted that man's bogus vision and over God's word. And so, and many so-called preachers in the SDA church do the exact same thing today by preaching false revivals, demanding the people stay with the ship and everything's going to be okay. You got to go to the end and you should stay. It says this and that and, you know, whatever. I mean, bottom line is this, though. If it is not of God, it's simply not going to come to fruition, period. And now here's the clincher in regards to the timing of this prophecy that Ezekiel spoke. Yes, it was a warning for the people long ago. But this prophecy is also for the people in the SDA church today as well. For it is written in verse 36 on that, the vision that he seeth is for many days to come. And he prophesieth of the times that are far off. Therefore say unto them, thus saith the Lord God, there shall none of my words be prolonged any more. But the word which I have spoken shall be done, saith the Lord God. So just as the final days are racing towards the kingdom of Judah, we see the same happening in our day and as well. And yes, many SDAs believe that they are the chosen people, just as the Jews believed back then and believe to this day. But sin is sin and truth is truth. And as Jeremiah said back in Jeremiah 25, verse 29, for lo, I begin to bring evil on the city which is called by my name. Yeah, they all hang on the name, right? Yeah, we were given the name, so that's it. But it says here, should ye be utterly unpunished? Ye shall not be unpunished. For I will call for a sword upon all the inhabitants of the earth, saith the Lord of hosts. You know, what has always amazed me is how some people think that they are above judgment. Just because they had the truth and they were blessed one day at one time or whatever for standing under its bright banner. But wasn't King Saul blessed in his early years? Was it not declared in the Old and New Testament that the Jews would eventually lose their favored nation status as well with the Lord? We all know replacement theology is fact. I actually have a write-up on this on the webpage. It's on the bottom of Who is Israel page now. Worse yet, did not Judas walk right alongside our Lord and be ordained by him to go out and heal people? He walked with Jesus for 3 years before dying in his disgrace. So I got to ask all SDAs, why is it you feel your faith is dart-proof? Seriously. Are the SDA people suddenly become Baptists? Seriously, I mean, that's the same theology, where, you know, once saved, always saved. Same banner. I mean, why is it you openly declare a Baptist church to be in error when they assume as such that they're always saved, yet you declare it is true when it comes to your denomination? How is that? See, now, you know why? That's why Jesus used the word hypocrite. You adulterers and adulteresses, know you not that the friendship of the world is the enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. James 4:4. Just as Zedekiah, their king, led the people of God into spiritual and physical ruin, the general conference of the Seventh-day Adventist Church does the exact same thing today, just as prophecy confirmed they would. And just as we see the SDA church falling, in all ways a church can fall from the spiritual, physical, and even financial end of things, they too cry out to the atheists for help. Zedekiah, he cried out to Egypt, right? And the SDA church sought the political council of Rome and the financial assistance of the atheistic United States government to the point that they are now so deep in debt to the government, they can only pay the interest on the loan. They can't possibly ever pay the loan. They're locked in. They're trapped. They have to do what the king says in Rome, just like they had to do what the king said in Babylon. Not even the tithe can get them out of this mess now. Even though they tried, they still tried. They actually gambled the tithe in a stock market investment with very evil. They shouldn't have done it with the tithe to begin with. But what they used that money to invest in was insane. Disgusting things. And so the Lord took it from them. $6 million was gone instantly. $6 million for mocking the Lord regarding the tithe. And still they stay in these pews. This is why they do all they can to keep the people in the pews too, by the way. Because they need them to be able to pay the interest on a loan. And this is also why they will join hands with their ecumenical cohorts under the 501c contract to demand Sunday laws so as to keep the almighty dollars flowing into their coffers so as to prevent financial collapse. The fact that there's dozens of Seventh-day Adventist churches keeping Sunday holy already. And I did a video recently about one of the conference leaders declaring that it's no big deal to keep Sunday holy in the SDA church confirms they're going to do it. People thought, oh, that's crazy that they would do it. Then you ask them, well, would you think it would be crazy that the Jews would do it? Oh, yeah, especially the Jews, especially. They've been keeping Sabbath for thousands of years. They would never, ever, ever. Well, guess what happened 2 years ago? Or 3 years ago now. We're in 2017. They officially adopted Sunday as the Sabbath. In writing. And I've got it on the Sabbath Attack page on the website in two or three different articles. It happened two or three different times. They worked their way up to it, but they finally announced it 2 or 3 years ago. But have you not read those in the leadership of the Seventh-day Adventist Church that clamor after the dollar rather than the souls that sit in your church? Have you not read that the deceitfulness of riches and the lusts of other things entering in choke the word and it becometh unfruitful? Mark 4:19. See, this is why that second beast conned you into getting that loan. I would literally go belly up if I found this out. Take the money. Yeah, go ahead. Let the church close. It's already closed according to probation. The corporate body of the SDA church has already been closed. I got a page on the website all about that. The people? No, probation hasn't ended on the people yet. If it did, I wouldn't be preaching this message. So all that's left to do now, Pastor, is to repent. Step down and help the flock that you were ordained to shepherd to find their way back to the path of salvation. And I hope and pray you are blessed by what was shared this Sabbath day. Please kneel. We'll finish in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you again for blessing us with your presence. And thank you for letting it continue on all throughout the Sabbath and the rest of our lives. As whenever we gather, you're always in our midst. Thank you still also for keeping that hedge of angels around us. And thank you for loving us enough to not only allow your son to die for us, but to send angels to help us and minister unto us day by day, hour after hour. It's amazing how much love you have displayed towards your people. Please show us how to love each other more so, though, because we still can't grasp the love, just like the angels can't understand the love. As, you know, when they look on the cross, it's even beyond their understanding. That love is that powerful. It's that amazing. It's never ending. It's eternal. Please bless us with that love even more so, Father, day by day. And please give us many opportunities. And Father, I pray that your hand is upon this message today in a special way for those pastors that you have declared are ready to hear it. I pray they hear it. I pray that they truly do leave that dangerous church. And come into agree. They don't have to join with us if they don't want. That's fine. Just get out of that dangerous church and start your own little church. Anyway, we need to be scattered all over the world anyway. And so thank you, Father God, for blessing those men that are on the pulpit to get out of that church before it's too late. And all the men, women, and children that are trapped in those pews, Father, please, please, please bless their hearts and bless their minds and bless their eyes. Let them see and let them hear what they need to hear. Help them get in all the churches, not just the SCA church, but they're everywhere now. The whole world is dying along with their God. And so thank you, Father, for blessing us, healing us. And if we are so worthy, let that latter rain fall upon us. And thank you again for accepting this prayer in the name of your Son, who is our precious King and Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen and amen.